I'll be talking about sex work as it's depicted in genre. And the reason why I want to do this presentation is because, like, perhaps in the past 10 years, sex work has changed exponentially, and then sometimes I'll read something that's set 1,000 years in the future and nothing has changed. And it just seems really outdated. So I just wanted to update everyone's knowledge, because I understand this isn't something, information you come across willy-nilly. So the reason I'm doing this is because I've been a sex worker for about 10 years. I started when I was 18, I'm now 28, and I've worked in Australia, I've worked in Southeast Asia, America, Europe, under different political climates, under different laws, both privately as a full service sex worker and under escort, an escort agency. And the laws are often what tell me I can do in my job, not the job itself, if that makes sense, or the clients. So I think that's a misconception a lot of people have. And I want to talk here about this because I think everyone here who is both a creator and consumer of culture are really powerful stakeholders, and what you say and how you share your work really shapes how other people view the world, whether that be negatively or positively. So often sex workers are treated badly in real life, and this all began in print. Because, you know, in print often, not you specifically, and obviously this has been going on for centuries and centuries, but it all began in treatment in print when people said, okay, this type of woman is okay to be abused, but this one is not. And then when people grow up and decide to be abusers, they know who their target is. They know who people are going to care about and who people are going to forget about. That's taught at a very young age. So I wanted to begin by just seeing where everyone else's exposure of sex work is, especially in works, and create two columns of how sex work is depicted under the column prejudiced or fair. So, for example, I'm not going to be very good at doing this because I avoid sex work in literature like the plague because it really upsets me. But for example, like Serenity, I think it was called, it was a TV show that had a sex worker character. Everyone seems to love that, so I'd put that in the fair category. But what is everyone else's experience? Has anyone read any works that has, you know, a sex worker or a prostitute or, you know, any... Yeah?
The Kushal Start series by Jacqueline Carey, the main character is a courtesan and performs a whole bunch of things, essentially ends up saving the world because she's really good at sex.
Right, yeah. So I'm going to go with fair for that one. Yeah. Do we know any others?
So China Mayville's Iron Council has sex workers organising as part of the coming revolution, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, I don't feel I have the capacity to judge it.
I really like
the idea, but I'm a bit iffy about some of it.
Cool. It's all right. We'll go into, like, what might... To be able to tell whether a depiction is accurate or inaccurate or prejudiced, if it comes from a prejudiced mind, if it comes from a, you know, a bit more well-researched mind. You were going to say something.
Oh, Bujold's Four Costs of Good series. On some planets, sex workers are regarded as a category of therapist.
Okay, yeah.
On others, there's more stigma, but main characters use the services of sex workers and aren't punished for it.
Nice, yeah. They actually do that in the Netherlands as well, where... seeing a sex worker for disabled people is kind of paid for, I think, by the government or something. Is there anything else that anyone can think of? I know that Game of Thrones had a lot of sex workers in it, and I don't...
They all died.
Yeah. I'm going to go through that as well. That's kind of the whore archetype is often ends with death. Sorry?
They seem to be treated as expendable.
Yeah. So I'll go through that as well. And so now we sort of have an idea of how sex work is kind of depicted. I'm going to go into later on what makes that fair or not fair, how sex workers are portrayed, And also I got a few sex workers to relay their voices here and like to get them involved as well, even though they couldn't be here. So this, you don't have to read this, but this is Kimberly Victoria Patters. It's an assertion that was called Sex Workers' Responses and Resistance to the Threat of External Stigma. This kind of goes into Firefly, and it's just her, and I thought it was a really great piece of writing that I just wanted to share. And I'm just gonna quickly sum it up, but basically there's a character in it called Inara, and she is, this is a good, this is a, you know, a fair representation of sex work, I would say. She's a courtesan, she's kind of well regarded because she has a license. So then sex work exists as either an illegal trade or a legal trade, when in reality it's more you can do sex work safely or you can do it illegally. That's basically what happens in real life. But in this story, it's, you know, she has a lot of respect because of that. She has a lot of power because of her legal status. Someone tries to blackmail her, threaten her, and she goes, no, I can put you on a blacklist. Not you can, you know, exert, flex your muscles at me. You'll never see another companion again. So that's her exercising her autonomy. Also, you know, there's an episode where she goes and runs across a brothel that's illegal, and they're getting extorted and all this sort of stuff. And all her sort of friends are like, oh, why did you help them? They're lower than you, or, you know, and she's like, no, they're doing exactly what I'm doing. They're just not doing it legally, and I'm not gonna leave them behind. So that's kind of a really good, I think that's a really fair depiction. I think that's what most sex workers would do in those scenarios. So that's that. I'm gonna go into the whore archetype. So if you're not familiar, that's kind of like, I guess a blueprint for women characters is either the whore, the crone, or the mother. Yeah, I think that's the triangle. And this hasn't been updated for quite some time, which I think is why a lot of mistakes, writers repeat the same mistakes sometimes. And I'm just gonna go through some of the common misconception tropes and traps that writers tend to fall into. So the first thing would be slurs. So people might use the word prostitute, hooker. Pimp is a really racist term. It's something that is used in American language to usually describe a black American, really derogatory. I would never use pimp in any work ever, because it's just, it has so much, all of these are very loaded terms, and there are more better terms that accurately capture what you're trying to say. So what's the difference between a pimp and a manager? Just because someone manages someone's sex work business doesn't mean they're a pimp and therefore exploratory. That's the one. Okay. And prostitute, again, it has a lot of history behind it. It often describes a lifestyle rather than a labor. And so this is like the first thing that people fall into. Then, like it was mentioned before, sex workers often end up murdered. They're often used as props, or you know, just plot points, someone else's narrative, so they have a character growth, but they don't. They often end up dead, usually murdered by a client or something, and no one looks for them. No, they don't have children or a support network or friends. They were somehow born into a black hole where no one ever knew them and then died there. So, and that's 100% not realistic. If I disappeared in my workplace, there would be a search party of a lot of people, and I do that for my friends as well. So it is very, I think it's lazy writing, and I think a lot of people could do better. And it's not that hard, I don't think, either. Especially now, like, think about it. The rescue industry in the world right now is quite a popular thing. You know, everyone's trying to save the sex workers. So imagine if a sex worker disappears and then there's no one. There's multi-million-dollar agencies around now. So it just kind of doesn't make sense. Also, I think what writers tend to get wrong often is the motivations for sex workers. You know, why are they doing this? What type of people are they? You know, what are they like when they're not working? I think the common mentality is, you know, that they're maybe bad mothers, that they have nothing better to do, they have nothing better to offer the world except their body, that they don't respect their body or something like that, that they're only money oriented, they don't care about anything else, And I think that's, I have met sex workers a bit like that, but one, it's usually a period of their time and not their whole life. And yeah, like I wouldn't say that's the majority. Most of us are just kind of normal people just trying to do a job like everyone else kind of, so we can, you know, have our own autonomy, so we don't have to depend on perhaps the person that helped us make kids in the past, or sometimes trying to get away from our families that might be really oppressive, trying to find some independence, all these sorts of reasons as usually the usual reasons. I also find that a lot of the time sex workers, they're not humanized in work, in people's works, and I think that could really change and improve. And I also find that sometimes when people go, okay, well, I'm not going to make a stereotypical sex worker character because that's been overdone, so I'm going to go to the complete other side and make them super glamorized and super successful, and they're going to have like everything, they're going to be a fighter, they're going to be super smart, they're going to just have it all. And that's also not realistic because sex workers are also just human, like they can make mistakes and stuff. They don't have to go fully 180 on the other side, or like, again, that the tragic circumstance, they're a victim of the times or something, but they actually have a heart of gold. And oh, my own pet peeve is like, you know, someone says, I looked in her eyes and I could see that they were hard and cold, that they had seen years of trauma or something like that. And it really pisses me off because I've never thought that with another sex worker. Another thing as well is often the vector of diseases. And another one assumed about their characters or morality is that they've been survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And while that, I think, can be true, I think that can be true with a lot of women, unfortunately. Like, that's a really... I hope that's not too triggering for anyone, but I don't think that every person that's been sexually traumatized as a kid ends up being a sex worker. I just don't think that's what happens. Also, another thing that a lot of people tend to do is they see sex work in a gender paradigm where it's just women servicing men. I would say about 20 to 30% of the industry is male. It's usually gay men or gay for pay that are doing that sort of service. I would say most of the clientele is male, but not all. There's female, I have female clients, there's couples, and also there's a lot of queer exclusion within the industry. I would say at least 60% or something of people I know, and I've gone all over the world, remember, are queer sex workers, and I would say even 30% of them are lesbians or gay men, or, you know, like there's a high percentage who have wives that they go home to and go to work and service men. And that's fine because they're not sexually attracted to them. So it's just like doing any other form of labor. There's no attachment, I suppose. And it actually makes it easier for them to do their work because they don't really give a shit. So anyways, also another mistake that I see a lot of writers doing is that if you're a sex worker, that's all you can do. Like, you can't have any hobbies or you can't have any other skill sets. Like, you just sit there in your lingerie next to a phone waiting. You know, I don't think you eat sometimes. Anyway, so, like, I think that, again, try to think of sex workers when they're not. I mean, you really, sex only lasts not that long, you know? So, like, there's a lot of time. So some people, you know, it's a couple of minutes and some people... So just really think about that. Like, what are they doing besides the sex bit? And to be honest, like, as a sex worker, most of my time is just building my brand and business. Very little of my time is actually used in the physical act of sex. Anyways, also, I often find as well with sex workers, what they do is they have like this really tragic upbringing or broken family or... And that's not necessarily true either. Like, I have kind of a broken family, but then so does all my siblings, and none of them are really sex workers. So it's not like a defining thing either. I've also forgot to add here, there's a lot of trans sex workers as well, or gender non-conforming sex workers. This is very important because what happens often with transgender people is they're trying to transition and no other job will hire them because of how they appear. And so sex work often becomes the only thing that they can do. So that's why there is a really intimate relationship between sex workers and transgender people, and it's often like washed away, and I don't like that. So that's one thing. I asked a bunch of my friends on my Twitter, I know thousands of sex workers online, about what they had to say to the cultural stakeholders, and this is what they had to say. So one person said that whatever you think sex work is probably wrong. Another person said the dehumanization of sex work begins with print, especially stigmatized assumptions already held by writers. That means that what you're writing, you're responsible for, and you might not notice it, but there's consequences to your words. Writers, especially male feminists, need to be willing to interrogate their own beliefs and address their own fears around poor sex ed, toxic masculinity, body politics, etc. I asked someone like what they didn't like, what was the bad sex, you know, thing, and they said Blade Runner 2049 was absolutely horrible because the AI girlfriend hires a sex worker so she can fuck the protagonist. Anyways, I haven't watched it, so I don't really know that. Another one, again, the Firefly thing. It's a common critique is that the ones with rights, respect, and status are the high-class workers. I'd like to see them respected all across the board. And yeah, like, I'm friends with street-based workers, brothel workers, phone sex, like, all, the whole shebang. And we're really not different. And another person said Dark Angel was apparently surprising some stereotyping, but generally an open attitude, queer openness, and gender disability, and disability is a huge thing as well, you know. People who are disabled, especially like males that are disabled, often the only way they can access intimacy is through a sex worker. So, you know, we're not out there doing party drugs all the time, you know. Sometimes we're, you know, trying to care for people and the ones that society has forgotten about. Another one that they used was harlots. I haven't seen that, or the Brian Fisher books, with the book. Anyways, you can read that yourself. Yeah, okay. And then, someone did tweet me and ask me to say something, which I will relay. Now, they said, I want them to know that I am not a victim. I am a survivor. I was a victim of poverty, unable to provide for my children. Now I have overcome all that through being a sex worker. I was raised by a very loving family that fully supports my decision. I just couldn't make it. Even though at one point I worked 3 jobs, it still wasn't enough being a single mom. No child support, no financial help at all. Sex work kept us from being homeless. They need to know sex work is work and needs to be decriminalized, which is a political thing that I'm not going to go into. That's a whole other thing. So, okay, cool. I've talked about how shitty sex work is represented. What can we do about it? I think the first step would be to confront your own internalized whorephobia and stigma. And anyone who says they don't have this is a liar, because I was a sex worker for like 3 years and I still had all this stuff that I would be like, oh, wow, I kind of hate myself for this, don't I? And I had to like really have a really honest conversation about myself, about what I was doing and what that meant for me. So the way we could do that is like, we always ask why we believe or assume things are the way they are and whether that's still relevant today. Sex work is continuously changing. Like I told you, in the past 10 years it's changed dramatically. That's because of the internet. So sex work has come online, and that's been really great for safety outcomes for sex workers, because they're no longer on the street or going into brothels, because they don't need to anymore. So they don't need to depend on anyone. They can, you know, do their business in the safety of their own home. And they can screen clients and all this sort of stuff. We weren't able to do that. Like, it was through the newspapers and in person and all this sort of stuff. So that's just like one thing that happened, and it's changed the whole outlook of the industry. Also, I can't go into this because it's too much, but the laws, the politics, the culture, the prevalence of infections, and if there's a cure, and the economy all shape how sex work is done by sex workers. And what I mean by that, if the laws are illegal, sex work's going to be unsafe. If the politics are very, they don't like sex workers are going to have a hard time. Again, bad health, safe, and safety outcomes. And it's going to be very quiet then. Like in Australia, we have a few different legal models and we're all a little bit more open than our American counterparts, that it's all criminalized. If they find out you're a sex worker, you're in jail. When you're in jail, you're not going to get another job. You're stuck in sex work. So there's this vicious cycle that's going on there. And also, the reason why Australian sex workers have got a bit of political power is because there is infection, there is STIs, and we can say we are the stakeholders of public health. And if you don't give us funding to organise ourselves, then how are we going to prevent these STIs within our community? So that's how we actually got power. It wasn't because they were like, you know what, you girls seem smart enough to organise yourselves, here you go, here's some money. No one said that, we had to scare them to giving us funding. So those are sort of the things, and also attitude is, it all sort of interlinks together. Also, understanding that consent is very conditional for sex workers and heavily negotiated. So it's not like, here I am, do whatever you want to me. It's like, what am I agreeing to? What is that? What am I charging for that? Every single act and service, things that you wouldn't even think about, like a kiss, people charge extra for that. A kiss with tongue would be extra for that. Sex, a blowjob usually would be with a condom on. If you take it off, that's money. So it's all negotiated. It's not just like, here I am, do what you want. That's, I think, not. I think people think that's what it is, it's not. And then there's obviously things with intersectionality. If you're gonna go into this in any of your books or pieces of writing or whatever, be cautious, because there's a lot of power dynamics, things like gender, disability, sexuality, race, racism, classism really comes into this, and it can really muddle things up, especially if there's drugs involved or homelessness or any of that sort of stuff. I'll just be very careful how you depict those things, because it can make real life impacts to the most vulnerable. Again, the greatest threat for sex workers is always stigma. You can be very impactful with your sex worker characters without being sensationalizing them. There's this thing that we call the horarchy, which is like the hierarchy, but like sex workers and the different types of sex work that there is. Don't feed into that. Don't say that this sex worker is better than this sex worker because they somehow suck dick differently. Like, that's not how it works. Also, for the future, if you like, oh, this sounds kind of interesting and I want to update my knowledge, what you can do is read works that are written by sex workers. There's heaps out there. Also, if you are writing about sex work, get a sex worker to read it, and also compensate them for that, because sex workers often get asked to do free stuff and teach society how to not abuse them. None of us have money here, so but we have skills, so you can. Sex workers often have to do everything themselves, so you can just offer copywriting or editing, and they will be so grateful for that. You can get sex workers to read your work, and then you can get their opinions, and then at least if someone calls you out for it, you can be like, but I did the right thing. Also, another big thing, if you're not like a creator, you can call out people who are misrepresenting or doing an unfair depiction of sex work. You can do this through your reviews, you can send tweets, you can send emails. And I know that might be really uncomfortable, especially if you're not a sex worker, because you're like, who am I to call out this thing? I'm not that person. But you can, neither are they. So you can just be like, you can't say those things, and I can't say those things, but at least I can tell you not to say those things. Or at the very least, like, yeah, just be like, where'd you get that idea from? Just question them a little. If you want to read stuff from sex workers, titsandsass.com is one place. It is all by sex workers. A book that recently came out is called Revolting Prostitutes. And again, just avoid the stereotypes, consider tech context, and try to humanize them as much as you can if you write about it. And that's it.